David, I thank you so much. Me and David, good friends. I thank him so much for allowing me to come back to be able to speak to you guys a word of encouragement at your 93rd, I'm sorry, 193rd homecoming. So anyway, that's a great historic being there. But anyway, in 1992, one of the greatest basketball coaches of all time, Jim Valvano, had contracted cancer and was on television. He was accepting the Epsi Award on ESPN. Guys, I watch this thing every single year, and it just brings me to tears to sit back and to watch it. But there are two phrases that Jim used in that speech that have stuck with me down through the years. And they are this: don't give up. Amen. Don't ever give up. I want to add a couple of words to that this morning as I bring this message to you. Don't give up on God. Don't ever give up on God. You know, we may not see where that God is heading us and where he's leading us to go. But don't give up on God. Our passage of scripture for this morning is from John chapter 11, and I love the Gospel of John. But it's from John chapter 11. We're talking about the death and the resurrection of Lazarus here. But I want for us to see three things out of this morning about not giving up on God. We live in a society today that just seems to have given up on God, that has just seemed to have just pushed him aside. We have so much chaos going on. We have so much diversity and so much sickness and illness going around. But I think that God calls us. He's called us to this point. And he tells us, don't give up. So first of all, guys, don't give up on God when you don't understand his plan. Don't give up on God when you don't understand his plan. It's found right here. We're going to be doing the first 45 verses of this book today, or this chapter today. And so I'm just going to read as we go along here. It says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus, of Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. And it was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So Jesus knew these guys. He knew them. He had had a relationship with them. And so the sisters sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not the end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now Jesus, he loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Now does that sound like someone that you love if you're going to stay two more days where you're at? You're not going to run immediately to that person who's sick? That doesn't really sound that way, but we don't understand God's plan in this case. He stayed there for 2 days. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. Now, the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? They questioned Jesus. They questioned the idea that he's actually going to step back into this fire that he had just stepped out of. that the Jews were after him. And so the disciples were scared, they were afraid that Jesus was going to be stoned. They didn't understand that Jesus still had a plan here on this earth. It wasn't his time to go. But they questioned him, and Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he who sees the light of this world." He's talking about himself there, those who see him. He is the light of the world. And so then he said, and after that, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep." Now, look what the disciples come back at. Look what they come back with. It says, "The disciples then said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." They thought he'd just gone to sleep. They didn't know that he died. They just thought he just, man, have you ever just laid down at night and just people wonder, are you just asleep or have you died? He had died. Jesus had to be blunt with the disciples. He had to come back at them and he had to say, so Jesus then said to them plainly, he had to put it down in plain language, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe." See, Jesus had a plan. God has a plan for what we are going through in this world. And when we don't understand it, we still must not give up on God. "You may believe, but let us go to him." Down through the years of my own life, and that there have been times that I did not know God's plan for my life. I did not understand God's plan for my life. I can remember growing up, and I had a great childhood, guys, and a great family life. But I can remember one incident that happened in my life that sent me into a whirlwind out of control. That event was that my grandfather had decided he did not want to be married to my grandmother, and he ran off with another woman. Now, guys, you can imagine what that made me feel like. I was so close to my grandfather. I loved him. He had taught me everything that I know, and basically about everything that I know in life. But so you can imagine how this devastated my life. I gave up on God. There was a time, guys, whenever I was a teenager, that I had given up on God and on his plan for my life. I got angry with God and turned against him and lived the life of a running Christian for many years. I had given up on God and was not living the life of a growing, vibrant Christian. Then at the age of 20, God he took me back. He took a hold of me and took me to a passage of scripture in James chapter 1. And if you go to that book, you see where the Bible talks about counting it all joy when you face trials of many kinds. Because those trials are bringing about faith in your life. They're actually there to help you, to help your faith grow in your life. So, guys, in today's chaotic world, where we have the coronavirus, and guys, if you don't think the coronavirus is real, if you're just watching the news and you just think that it's all what the news is saying, go talk to a nurse, go talk to a doctor. They can tell you exactly what the coronavirus is doing. And they can explain to you exactly what it's doing, probably better than the news people can. So, but we have all kinds of chaos going around, and it's easy for us It's easy for us to just give up on God. Like, for instance, the coronavirus has seemed to bring out the worst in people. I really believe that. It's brought out the absolute worst in people. Man, we have people that are so divided over where if you're going to be vaccinated or not be vaccinated, or if you're going to wear a mask or don't wear a mask. You have people divided on both sides. And we already were a divided nation. We already are having issues with race and with other things that are going on around us in the world. And those things are to take our attention off of God. And we as Christians must not let that happen. We must remember, do not give up on God. We have workplaces that will fire you over not getting the vaccine. And we ask, what is God's plan in all of this? Why is this happening? And we forget that God still has a plan, that He still is in control. Have you ever thought about that? No matter what this world looks like, God's still in control. He hasn't given up control. He knows exactly what's going on. And He knows exactly where we're at. He knows exactly where David's at. He knows exactly where everyone is. He is still on the throne. Nothing surprises God. And He knows exactly what is happening and is waiting on us to stop worrying and to not give up on Him. See, the disciples could have been very easily have just given up on Him. But Mary and Martha could have been just very easily have given up on Jesus. But they didn't. You say, well, how can we not give up on God when His plan is so unclear? Listen to me, guys and gals. It is time that we as Christians in this nation get our focus back on God and His Word, and to get it off the world that is crumbling apart around us. Remember these three things. God is still on the throne. God knows exactly what is going on. And number three, we have the promise from the Bible that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Well, guys, not only do we need to not give up on God when we don't see His plan, but we don't need to give up on God when we don't see His timing. This is so hard. This is so difficult because we're a generation of give me, give me, give me now. We just want things right now. We want for them to be right out here, right in front of us. And that may not be what God's timing for us is. So we're going to pick it up here in verse 17. So when Jesus came, He found that He had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet Him. But Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, Lord, if you had just been here, man, don't you just want to ask God that sometime? Lord, if you were just here, would we have all this chaos going on in the world? If you were just here. She fell down at His feet and said, if you had just been here. Lord, if you had just been here, my brother would not have died. God, if you had just been here, the coronavirus wouldn't be here. God, if you were just here, that we wouldn't have all the division and all the chaos that's going on in our world today. We don't see God's timing. Martha said to Him, I know that He will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection Do we believe that? That he is the resurrection and he is the life? He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He sat there and asked him, he asked this simple question, do you believe it? And I'm here to ask you that question, do you believe it? Do you still believe that God is still there? He's never left us. If anybody is moved, it's us. And it's time, guys, that we get back to where God wants for us to be at. She said to him this, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. When she said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. Jesus was still there. He didn't come anywhere closer to where Lazarus was. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary had got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came to where Jesus was at and saw him, she fell at his feet. Guys, do you not think it's time that we fall at Jesus' feet once again? Man, what a change. What a change that we can make in this world. If we would just fall at the feet of Jesus and just cry out at him, if you had been here. She says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Yeah, it's time that we just stand at the feet of Jesus and we just say, God, please be with us. Please heal our land. Please heal what's going on in our world all around us. That's what happened. And I can tell you that not giving up on God when we don't understand his timing, it's very difficult to do. Here I am. I'm called to the ministry of the gospel. I was actually ordained here at this church. Called to the ministry of the gospel. I graduated from seminary in 98, and I still am working in retail. And I'm sitting there like, well, God, there are times that I question God's calling on my life. And I want to just give up on him. But my wife can tell you that there is days that I will just go crying to her and I just want to give up. I don't want to go forth. There are times that I go into the state of depression and wonder, did I go through all of this just to work in retail? Did I go through the idea of ordination? Did I go through the idea of seminary and master's degree just to work in retail? That's what I ask God sometimes. Is that what I went to school all those years for? Because I could have saved a lot of money, guys. I could have saved a lot of money and time if I would just went to work after high school. But you know what? That wasn't God's plan for my life. That's not God's plan. God's plan for my life is for me to be a minister, to be a preacher, to help others who are going through depression and anxiety in their life. That's God's plan for my life. And I plan on fulfilling God's plan in my life. It may not be to stand behind a pulpit week after week and to preach the gospel, although I would love to do that. But guys, I really believe this. God's plan for my life is to help those who are suffering. And guys, God has a plan for your life, and He has a plan for this church. And we must not give up on God because we don't see the timing. We may try to get ahead of God. We may try to get ahead of God and others. Like on the Andy Griffith Show, Don Knotts, he plays... Don Knotts, they always say he was one of my cousins. I don't know if he was or not, but... I would hope, you know, somewhere down the line that it may have been, but I don't know that for sure. But he played the part of the overzealous, hyperactive sheriff's deputy. And Andy always had to try to calm him down, but a lot of times he did not listen and would move forward with his plan and get into lots of trouble by doing it. Guys, if we give up on God like Barney gave up on Andy, then we can find ourselves in a mess. We can find ourselves in a big fat mess, which I really think that's what we found ourselves in this world today. We have been. We have forgotten, even Christians, guys. And I'm not saying all Christians, because there's some great people in this world. But too many of us have given up on God and have said, "You're not here, so therefore we cannot move forward with what we're doing." I pray that this church will continue to move forward with God's plan, whatever it may be for Him, that you just move forward, that you trudge forward behind David, and that you just march on forward. So how can we apply this point to our lives? I believe it is this. Remember that God is still in control. And remember to trust His timing, not to jump ahead and to get into trouble. And don't give up. Now, guys, the third thing I want for us to see is don't give up when all seems hopeless. Now, here, Mary and Martha were. Lazarus had died. Jesus wasn't there. He wasn't there to save him. And here they are, that they are just in great despair because of what happened. They just seemed hopeless. And does that not describe most of the world that we live in today? It's just hopeless. We're just running around like, oh man, from this thing to this thing to the other. And we have so many people that are just following in behind. And David, the older I get, the closer I get to God, number one. And the older I get, the more I want to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Man, what a change we can make in this world if we would just grab a hold of that. Don't give up on God when all things seem hopeless. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. That shows you that Jesus was human. Jesus was fully God and he was fully human. And the disciples said to him, "Rabbi," the Jews were, oh, I'm sorry, I'm back up. And said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. He even cried. He had the same emotions that we have, guys. Sometimes we forget that. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Could he not have kept this man from dying? Everything seemed hopeless. So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench." By this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Guys, I've never smelt decaying flesh. I know that most people say that it's awful, and I'm sure that this probably was an awful smell, but Jesus said, "Remove the stone anyway." Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone, and then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you were always near me. But because of the people standing around me, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me." And when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Now look what happened here. Look. This is probably one of the most important verses here. "Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him." God has his timing. We don't see his plan. We don't see his timing, and we just feel that things are hopeless. But I'm here to tell you guys, don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. During the 30 Years' War in the 17th century, German pastor Paul Gerhardt and his family were forced to flee from their home. One night they started in a small village inn, homeless and afraid. His wife broke down and cried openly in despair. To comfort her, Gerhardt reminded her of scripture promises about God's provision and keeping. Then, going out to the garden to be alone, he too lifted and sensed anew the Lord's presence. Taking his pen, he wrote a hymn that has brought comfort to many. "Give to the winds thy fears, hope, and be undismayed. God hears thy signs and counts all thy tears. God shall lift up thy head through the waves and the clouds and the storms. He gently clears the way. Wait thou this time, so shall the night soon end and joyous day." Man, it pays sometimes to go back and look at who wrote these old hymns. It pays to do that. It is often in our darkest times that God makes his presence known most clearly. He uses our suffering and trouble to show us that he is our source of strength. And when we see this truth, like Pastor Gerhardt, we receive new hope. Are you facing a great trial today? I'm sure those that are in the medical field are facing a great trial. We all are. Take heart. Put yourself in God's hands. Wait for his timing. And he will give you a song in the night. Man, as many times as I've had to use that in my life for God to just put a song in my heart. Mary and Martha were both at the lowest point in life when Lazarus died. Some of us are at our lowest points right now. We have lost our jobs, we cannot pay our bills, and we are in great despair. In fact, most psychiatrists and counselors have seen the biggest rise in those with depression in decades. It is easy to just look at God and say, I give up on you. It's so easy to do. Where are you in all this? Let me assure you guys that God has not moved. He is exactly where he was before all this chaos started happening. And we must trudge on in faith that God will lead us out of it. And you say, well, how can we do that? How can we trudge on forward in faith? It is so easy, but most of us make it so difficult. Just keep your eyes on Jesus, not of the things of this world. Stop watching the TV so much intently. Get back into the Word of God. A lot of Christians just take this thing home on Sundays and it sits on some bookshelf or on some table or whatever until the next Sunday. Then they pick it up again. You got to be in it daily in order for God to work mightily in your life. You need to be in this book daily. Stop watching it so intently, and it's enough to get anyone down. Yes, keep updated on what's going on in the world, but do not, and I repeat, do not focus upon that. Keep your focus on Jesus. And I promise you, all will be better. Guys, my prayer for you, my prayer for David and for this church is that you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and that you keep trudging forth in faith. No matter what, you keep trudging forth in faith. So guys, what can we take away from this today? Let me give you three things that can help. And these are so, so, so simple. But keep yourself in God's Word. Too many of us are letting the things in the world take place of God's Word in our lives. Read it daily. Don't just bring it to church on Sundays and not even open it again till the next Sunday. Be patient. Number two, be patient and keep praying. Be patient and keep praying. I pray that this is a praying church and that you will be patient. Too many of us as Christians have given up on prayer. And we think that God is not listening, but I'm here to tell you, God is listening. Jesus knew what Mary and Martha was going through. He knew exactly what they were going through. But what happened in here was to bring about God's plan, and that was that many Jews believed because of what Jesus done. Be patient. Keep praying. Number three, keep this phrase in mind, guys. God is still on his throne and knows all that is going on. Too many times we forget this and we get into a state of despair. Don't let that happen in your life as I did before. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward in faith. Guys, I didn't come here today to be a gloom and doom type person, but I came here today to be an encouragement to you guys. I want to be an encouragement to you and to others that are around me to know that God is still in control. He's still on his throne. No matter what we are going through in our lives, it may look like it's just absolutely never going to end. But God is still in control. You as a church, I love you guys. I think about you guys all the time. I think about this church all the time. I do. And I pray for this church. I love the people here. And I pray that you will keep moving forward in faith. Remember, God is still in control. As we pray, David will come up. And if you want to make a decision this morning, you can come down and talk to him. But I want to let you know that this altar is open. There's no fences around it. There's nothing around it. There's nothing magical about it, but there's also something magical about being on your knees before an Almighty God. If you're hurting, if there's something going on in your life and you just don't understand it, come pray. If you need somebody to pray with you, we can come pray with you. Just grab us. Keep moving forward, guys. Heavenly Father, we do come to you right now. We thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this morning, Father. We thank you for the word that was given here, Father. That Father, I thank you that you hid me behind a cross. Father, I pray that it's been an encouragement to these people here, God. And I pray that, Father, that they will keep moving forward in faith. God, I thank you so much that you are still in control, that we don't have to give up. We don't have to throw in the towel, because you're still in control. You're still on the throne. And God, we thank you so very, very much for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.